Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, sis, and welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I am excited for today's episode, y'all, because we are wrapping up our mental health month series, and it's going to be giving. All month, we've been talking about how overthinking is robbing you. We talked about how to overcome overthinking. We've learned some cognitive restructuring. Okay, got a little CBT going on up in here in this joint, and I'm really excited because God brought me across this scripture, probably, like I said, a couple months ago, where He showed me the agenda that He has for us in regards to our minds. And it's in 1 Peter 1:13 that we're going to really understand and land the plane today in regards to how God wants us to establish our minds and really how to overcome a battle in your mind, how to really deal with spiritual warfare in your mind, the way that your mind is supposed to be. A lot of times we talk about all of the ways that our minds aren't, like how we overthink, we aren't not being double-minded. We talk about all of the dysfunction of our minds, but I want us to understand the standard that God has for our minds, and that in turn will empower us to be able to overcome and not settle for anything outside of what God has prepared for us, period. So we are going to be talking about the prepared mind. So I told y'all the scripture that I am going to be talking about is 1 Peter 1:13. I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all of your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." Let's talk about what it means to be prepared, right? Like this is some, Peter's dropping tea. Like, so prepare your minds for action. A lot of us are finding ourselves dealing with some of our mental health struggles because we're so busy being passive in our mind and in our mindset that we aren't preparing our minds for anything. A lot of times we are just allowing our minds to wander. There's an old saying that an idle mind is the devil's playground. I don't know if that's scripture. People just be saying stuff. Okay. But we have to be intentional and prepare our minds for action. And in that action, we still are told that we need to exercise self-control. And so what does it mean to get prepared? Y'all know I'm about to teach, baby. Get your notes because we're deep diving. To be prepared in this scripture, it means getting prepared to move quickly as someone needs to arrive somewhere without a delay. To have a prepared mind means to remove any mental slack, eliminating all useless thoughts, which is bad logic, by tightening the mind. As believers, our minds should be taught, okay? Keep it tight. Get it right. Keep it tight. Bubba Sparks has said it. But in this definition, it means that we are keeping our minds in proper condition, exercising critical thinking done under God, and working through the revelations of faith. And a lot of us are not using critical thinking. We're not even trying to align our thoughts with what God says. And we're not honestly doing what needs to be done to keep our minds in position where we're not dealing with useless thoughts. And what a lot of us don't know is that slack is easily collected around the loins of our mind. What are we collecting? Child news, gossip, TikTok, all of this information that is useless, that is causing bad logic, all of this information that you're knowing, right? And all you're getting, you got to get an understanding so you can have an accumulation of knowledge and still not be wise. And I love that it says that it's that the slack is easily collected around the loins of your mind. Your loins, when you read that in scripture, it literally means like your reproductive areas. And so when we talk about the loins of your mind, this is your reproductive reasoning. This is what your life, the fruit that you eat is going to come from this reasoning. It is your reproductive reasoning. This is why we're encouraged to stand firm, putting on the belt of truth. In Ephesians 6:14, the New American Standard Version of the Bible, it says, having girded your loins with truth. So in order for us to experience having a mind like Christ, having a prepared mind, being ready to actively engage and wage war on the enemy, we have to actively engage in critical thinking under God's logic, right? We have to engage in critical thinking under the sanctified logic that God has given us through all of the revelations that he has given us. So many of us are struggling to have prepared minds because we don't have a clear understanding of even what the truth is. So if the Bible is telling you that you shouldn't have any of this slack around the loins or the reproductive reasoning of your mind. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:14 to gird our loins with truth. We have to know what the truth is. And there's the problem, right? I taught a Bible study recently. Right now, we're getting ready to wrap a series that I'm teaching on the fruits, or not the fruits of the Spirit, child, the armor of God. We already did the fruits of the Spirit, about the armor of God. And we've been studying each individual piece of armor, and it has been giving. Every lesson has been fire. And we recently talked about the belt of truth. And as God had me teach this, he showed me that the enemy's key spiritual warfare tactic is deception. He used it in the garden and he uses it every day. And a lot of us don't have an understanding of what the truth is. So because you don't know God's standard, you really don't know what it looks like if something or someone deviates from it. We don't really understand the depths of what truth is and what truth isn't. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you prepare your mind and tighten up your thinking by really telling you and helping you understand, as I did with the ladies in the study. I'm going to give y'all these 9 points of what truth is not, because I think that we really have to have an understanding based on what God says. Now, I'm going to go through them quickly because we still got a strategy to help at the end. Okay? So first things first, what is the truth? The truth is anything that aligns with reality and God's nature, fully embodied in Christ. It has to be fully embodied in Christ. Why? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Jesus said he the truth. Okay? So if it doesn't align with Jesus, baby, it's not the truth. Y'all see how simple that is? If it don't align with Jesus, baby, it's not the truth, because he says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So here are some things. Here are 9 things that we confuse with the truth. Okay? Let me tell you what the truth is not. The truth is not simply whatever works. Okay? Just because it produces a desired outcome doesn't mean that it's the truth. A lie can appear to work. It's still a lie, friend. Okay? It's still a lie. And my support of scripture, Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. truth is not what is coherent or understandable. A lot of times, what God tells you to do is going to be beyond you. Why? Because his thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. And so just because you don't understand does not mean that it's not the truth. The same way that there are a lot of conspiracy theories that are lies, even though they seem coherent, it's still a lie. Just because it seems coherent does not mean that it's true. Go read Isaiah 8 and 12. You have to use discernment. And then you have to make sure things line up with the truth in order for you to have a prepared mind. The truth is not what makes people feel good. Most times, the truth is uncomfortable. Okay? It's challenging and unpleasant. You might feel a touch of conviction. A touch of conviction. That's how I know that the Bible is the word of God, because it goes against everything that comes natural to me. In my flesh, people run up on me, get done up. Because I follow Christ and I live by the truth, I don't be knocking people out. Amen. Amen. He has changed me. The supportive scripture for it's not what makes you feel good. John 6, 60 through 61. Now, here's the gag. The truth is to be delivered in love. I'm going to put a pin in it right there. So don't play with me, because people be trying to use that the truth don't make you feel good. The Bible's a double-edged sword. Yeah, in love, Buki. With your little nasty self talking about you a prophet of God. In love is the qualification to give the truth. Okay. Truth is just not what everybody believes. A majority consensus doesn't mean it's the truth. There are a lot of people who are wrong together, all of them. Like, there's a lot of people who collectively are wrong. They are loud and wrong about the same thing. Exodus 23 and 2. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. People will do it. You have to be willing to stand on God's truth, even if that means standing by yourself, which you're not really by yourself, because you got big Jehovah, okay? Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Gabor. He rocking with you, friend. So you're never by yourself. But just because the majority doesn't believe it, doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's not the truth. Truth isn't just what is like long and comprehensive. Just because it's got 16 paragraphs don't mean it's the truth. There are some people who will literally, I've seen it in politics, where they will just, I think it's called a filibuster. They just go on and on and on and on until they wear people down. And that is a tactic of the enemy. Just because it's long and comprehensive and it seems like the things go together does not mean that it's truth. You can have a detailed argument and it still be the wrong conclusion. The truth is not defined by your good intentions. Good intentions don't guarantee truth. In all of your sincerity, you can still be wrong. Go read Romans 10 and 2. I don't think I gave y'all the scripture for the comprehensive lengthy for number 5. It's Matthew 6 and 7. Jesus said, don't be out here praying with these long words like these people, because they was out here saying a bunch of nothing. Okay? For the truth is not defined by good intentions. Go read Romans 10 and 2. Okay, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Period. You have to make sure that your intentions are still grounded in truth, the truth of God's word. Truth is not how we know something. It is what we know. Truth is not just about the method of you knowing something, but the actual content of what is known. What is it that I know? I know that Jesus is the Son of God. He died. They buried that man in the tomb, went back 3 days later. Wasn't nobody there because he got up. How do you know? Baby, I just do. I know it. And I don't have to sit here and have long soliloquies. I'm not an apologist yet. Okay. I don't have to sit here and argue with you. They ain't never found the body. They ain't never found that man, none of his bones. Why? Because he's alive. Come on. Go read John 8:32, because then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's freedom in me knowing it, and I don't have to explain it to you. It don't matter how I know in my heart of hearts. Now, truth is also not simply what is believed. Believing a lie doesn't make it true. Believing a lie, friend, does not make it true. Truth exists independent of belief. The truth exists independent of belief. So just because you believe it does not mean that it's true. For a long time, I used to tell everybody that Michael Jackson was my granddaddy. I mean, to the point to where when he died, people were sending me condolences text messages. Me and my friend Tierra, we loved Michael Jackson and we said, that's our granddaddy. And people believed us. Now, why? I don't know. We were children. Okay. But to this day, my dad still is mad that I told people that Michael Jackson was my third granddaddy. Yes. Just because people actually believed it. Doesn't mean that it was ever true. I did very much so cry when he died. Okay? But just because somebody believed it does not mean it's true. Go read 2 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12. It says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Go read your Bible, friend. Examine your beliefs, because if your beliefs do not line up with the word of God, baby, they're not true. And you have to get rid of them. This is how you prepare your mind. You have to really ask yourself, am I doing these things? Like, am I believing what everybody else believes? Am I not willing to stand alone in the word of God? And then the last one is, truth is not what is publicly proved. Truth is not determined by what a public display of proof. Huh? What's a good relevant case that's happening right now? Sean Combs, because you don't get nicknames when you be out here abusing women. Sean Combs. Cassie put out her statement, and that man said, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. But she was telling the truth. She was telling the truth before we saw the tape. She was telling the truth. The tape just confirmed, just proved that she was telling the truth. But the truth was already told, sis, when she said it. So just because it hadn't been publicly proved did not mean that it wasn't the truth. Y'all saw what happened to that woman. And then people tried to sit there and say she was lying. But she was telling the truth the entire time. And it didn't just become true once the tape came out. Truth is not determined by public proof based on human terms. Some people are going to demand a public sign before believing something, and they're going to remain unconvinced even when the truth is evident. Case in point, Matthew 27:41-42. They hung Jesus, mocked him. He saved the others, but can't save himself. Let him come down off the cross and we'll believe him. No. Does not mean. Just because Jesus did not publicly hop up off the cross and pop all of them, because I would. And that's why I'm not Jesus. Just because he didn't do that does not mean that he's not the Son of God. Does not mean that he's not Lord and Savior. God don't have to prove nothing to us. He said what he said. Now, is it great when he gives us confirmation? Yes. But does he have to? No. So I want to give y'all real quick these elements of a prepared mind. Okay, I got 4 elements. In order for us to have a prepared mind, we first have to have a posture of faithfulness. That means that we have to be faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, it talks about it being required as servants of Christ that we are stewards over the revelations of God. some translations say the mysteries of God, but it basically means that the revelation that God gives us, we have to steward well over them. And because of this, we must be found faithful. So a mind that is prepared is committed to standing on what God has revealed, no matter what the circumstances look like. And a lot of us be ready to dismiss God the minute that something don't look like the way we think it should. And if we're being honest, a lot of us are real unfaithful to God. Like somebody called Joey Greco and cheaters in them, because the minute we don't get our way, baby, we be out here with everything else. And we quickly go to this like quick fix, or we try to start doing things in our own control and we step out on God. We cheat on God. We are not faithful to God. That's what us being faithful means. It means fidelity. The same way you don't want no man stepping out on you, we need to not be stepping out on our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. God is going to require for us to be fully receptive and obedient to his instruction. Our faithfulness keeps our minds prepared because it's our refusal to jump ship that keeps us from being double-minded. If you go read James 1, you know that the fruit of being double-minded, the consequence of you being double-minded is that you have nothing. So if you are finding yourself where you are distraught, you need to ask yourself, am I being faithful? Do I have a posture of faithfulness in terms of my thinking and my belief and in my heart posture? The next thing to have a prepared mind or a mind like Christ so you can be victorious in spiritual warfare is that you have to stand on the principles of God's word. The word of God is our sword in spiritual warfare. So you have to know the principles of the word so you can be girded in truth, so you can be prepared with your sword, so your mind can be renewed daily. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, scripture tells us that all scripture comes from God and is profitable. That means that it gives us an accumulated profit or advantage, especially in regards of teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, so that we can be adequate, meaning prepared, and equipped, meaning suitable and effective to accomplish what God has placed in our hands or placed for us to do. And here's why it's important to study the word, okay? Because when you look at the word reproof, it's often translated as rebuke. Rebuke in this scripture is a level of conviction that turns you away from being double-minded. It keeps you from being double-minded, friend. So now you're not having all of this distress. You have to stand on the principles of God's word in order for you to have a mind that is prepared for action. Prayer. That's the next one. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We are told the importance of prayer in regards to preparing our minds. We are told to be anxious for nothing. When you study this word anxious in the Greek, it means to be divided into parts or distracted. So we are instructed not to be divided, double-minded, distracted by anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice how prayer is separated from supplication with thanksgiving. Okay. Let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. To guard literally means to keep watch, to actively display the defensive and offensive means necessary to guard. So our prayer life protects our minds from the hostile invasions of the enemy. And we have to make sure that we understand the fundamentals of prayer. I'm going to circle back to Philippians 4, 6 through 7, probably in another episode, because I think the fact that we don't understand what prayer is and how it's separate from supplication with thanksgiving, I think we're missing a major key. We're missing a major key, and I feel like it needs its own episode. We might have to do it, friend. We might have to do it. A lot of us aren't taught about the importance of prayer, and a lot of us aren't experiencing peace because of that. Like when you look at the definition of prayer, I want you to know that prayer is us exchanging our will for the will of God. And a lot of us, when we come to God in prayer, we're just supplicating. We're not even asking him. We're not looking for the exchange. And so now you're missing a step. Okay. All right. Finally, after prayer, you have to prune your personal opinions. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, these are speculations that we have to destroy. We talked about 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 for the past couple weeks, and we're going to keep talking about it because it is foundational to our success in us ensuring that we have prepared minds and we're able to have success over the enemy and also success over our flesh. We're not only fighting the enemy. The enemy has been defeated by Jesus Christ. Our real beef is with our flesh and trying to beat it into submission. And the enemy, who is after our soul, is leveraging our flesh against us. That's really what's happening. That is warfare. So you have to continue to prune your personal opinions. So that means you have to challenge those thoughts. You have to demolish any speculation that attempts to overtake your mind. This is a constant, ongoing process that's going to help you remain in position the way that God intended you to do so. So what did we learn this month? What did we learn about getting prepared? What did we learn about overcoming overthinking? What did we learn about the dangers of overthinking? I want you to know overall that overcoming the battlefield in your mind is going to require that you have proper perspective, that you have properly paced your thinking. Remember, those speculations means that you're getting ahead of God. So if you're worried about stuff 15 years down the line, 10 weeks down the line, and it's distracting you, because remember, worry and concern are not the same thing. If you're outpacing God in the situation, you are speculating. Okay, objection. So we have to have proper perspective. We have to have our minds properly paced. We have to follow the pace of God in our thinking, and we have to be prepared in our minds for action. Our minds have to be prepared and ready to go for action. And in order for us to have success when it comes to our minds, we have to be committed to maintain a posture of faithfulness. We have to stand on and live the principles of God's word. You have to be the new creature in Christ, friend. You have to pray continually. Continually, you should be continually exchanging your thoughts for God's thoughts, your intentions for His intentions. And a lot of times we don't want to exchange. Amen. And then we have to continually prune our personal opinions. And in doing this, it is going to help us prepare our minds for action and operate in a spirit of self-control. Now, God is so good to us. Hear me, friend, because I know that that might sound a lot for a lot of y'all, but don't fret, Buki, because you can't do this in your own strength. And Jesus said He got us. He sent Holy Spirit, who is our advocate, our instructor. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So the way that we are able to have a mind that is prepared, a mind that is not overtaking us, a mind that is not ruling us, it's by us leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do this on our own. Holy Spirit is who provides us with the authority and the access and the power that we need to develop a mind like Christ. He's not just good for you speaking in tongues and you hashtag bullshit. No, no, that's great. That's beautiful if that's your gift. But also, He's here to help you learn and have a spirit of self-control. He's here to reveal and teach you and instruct you when you open the scripture. He's who gives you the revelation. All the stuff y'all hear, Holy Spirit been telling me this. He the plug. He is the plug, okay? And He's a He, not an it. He is the plug. So the way that you are able to have a prepared mind is not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. You have to submit and surrender to Him fully. Surrender. Let go. Let it go. Let go of the way that you think. Let go of your motives. Let go of your values. Let go of everything that you prioritize and exchange it for your new citizenship. Exchange it for the mind that God has for you. Exchange it for all of the benefits that are available to you. You will not regret it. In order for you to have a mind that is fully prepared for every good work that God saw for you before you were born, for you to have victory over the enemy, you have to first, sis, surrender fully to the process. It's not going to be cute. It's not going to feel natural. It's not our natural inclination because this is supernatural. it's going to go against everything that's in your flesh. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get tired. But all you have to do is endure and be faithful to God in the process. And I promise you, God will blow your mind. So I pray that this blessed y'all as much as it blessed me. Get your mind right, girl, and get out here and do what God told you to do. Let me know if y'all want to keep doing more mental health episodes. I'm definitely going to be plugging them in as I learn more in school and God leads me to. I pray that this blessed y'all this month as much as it blessed me. I love you, sis. God bless you. And I will talk to you next week.